Hey everybody, it's Brad Williams and Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by White Cloud e-cigarettes.
We're not saying you should start smoking, but if you already do, awesome. And if you've ever wanted to try an e-cigarette, these are the ones to go with. White Cloud e-cigarettes offers over 20 flavors. That's almost as many as Baskin-Robbins. 20 flavors and 6 nicotine strengths. It's cheaper than other e-cigarettes that you'll see at convenience stores and with much more variety. White Cloud e-cigarettes sponsors comedians. They've been doing it for over 2 years now. They've also sponsored comedy festivals like the Boston Comedy Festival and the Orlando Indie Comedy Festival. If you've ever been curious about trying an e-cigarette, I have. Well, the Fling is the low-cost, no-commitment way to do so. And the Fling offers same-day UPS shipping on orders before 6 p.m. Eastern.
But is there a website?
Customers can go to WCESigs.com. That's WCESigs.com.
But we want to make sure our listeners get them for cheap. So is there a coupon code?
To get 25% off of the order, use the coupon code ALNPODCAST. That's ALNPODCAST at WCESigs.com to get your White Cloud e-cigarettes today. And now, enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Hey everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast. Very fun episode today. Our guest, you may have seen her on Californication, on Two Broke Girls. She was one of the stars of the ABC sitcom Manhattan Love Story, and she's currently one of the stars of Girl Code. You've seen her on At Midnight. She's fucking hilarious. Her name is Jade Catapretta. That's right, Jade Catapretta. She's also probably got one of the cooler names in comedy. She's from Brazil originally, and this episode is one of my favorites. We've done it a while because anytime we get somebody on that has a unique background like this, it's so fun to get into. And Jade tells us stories of sitting by herself, like watching TV and going over like English words. Her English used to be terrible, which is mind blowing because when you listen to her talk, it's. She's the greatest speaker of all time. No, it's just you can't tell that she ever had difficulty with that. We get into growing up in Brazil, being on Girl Code, living in New York, where she lives now with her main squeeze, our buddy Nick Rutherford, who, of course, from the Good Neighbor Sketch Group, writes on SNL. Jade and I, we get into when we first met and at the Comedy Store, how we both kind of started at the same time and the sketches we did together. And we close this episode by improvising a Brazilian musical where Brad is a singing papaya. So if there's any way you don't listen to this episode all the way through, you've basically just you made a big mistake. Follow Jade on Twitter at The Jade Movie. Same on Instagram. Coming up tour-wise, she's traveling with Bobby Lee. She will be at the Tampa Improv May 8th through the 10th. Get your tickets at improv.com. And of course, watch her on Girl Code on MTV's. I think it's Wednesday nights, but look, check your local listings. Girl Code, she's hilarious on there. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. Go see Brad at Hyenas Comedy Club in Fort Worth, Texas, April 16th through the 18th, and then at the Ice House in Pasadena, California, April 24th and 25th. I will be there with him for those shows, April 24th and 25th at the Ice House. Come see me. Where am I going to be? April 14th. On Tuesday night, I'm going to be at the Irvine Improv headlining Comedy Juice, 8 p.m. Come to that show. Going to be doing a bunch of new material. You can also see me on April 15th at the Hollywood Improv for the 8 and 10 o'clock shows. Both shows, Hollywood Improv, April 15th, 8 and 10. And then, of course, I'll be at the Ice House on April 17th and the Laugh Factory on April 18th. Get your tickets at improv.com, icehouse.com, and laughfactory.com. Of course, go to astoymerchandise.com, more websites, and get your ABLN merch, t-shirts, mugs. Wear your shirts, buy them, give them for gifts, wear them around town, support the pod. We love it when you see you guys wearing your merch at our shows. It just fills our heart with joy. And, you know, every time you wear an ABLN shirt to a Brad show, he'll do a dance for you, live and in concert. So do that shit. Get your merch. Follow us on Twitter. Come see us live. Subscribe on iTunes. Rate and comment the podcast on the iTunes page. That's how we climb the charts and continue to get to do this and bring you guys fun shows. Some of the guests we've got lined up, like I said before, Just locked in a couple more for May, and you guys are really going to be pumped, because we are, and it's a lot of fun. So now that we got all the tour date info out of the way, that's all the merch info, those are the Twitter handles. Ladies and gentlemen, sit back, relax, and enjoy a very fun, hilarious episode of the About Last Night podcast with our good buddy, Jade Catapretta.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. No podcast during lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
Hello.
No, it's okay. Well, I mean, before we really do get started, I kind of have a little bone to pick with you.
Oh, no.
And this is
a dick joke about himself.
No. Hey, it's a little more than a pick.
Did I say something mean? Oh, no, I'm sweating so much already.
Stop.
Oh, my gosh.
Stop. Okay, I'm going to play a clip from you on the internet.
This is horrible. You're putting me on the spot.
That is great. I just want to say first, by the way, because I've never been in this position where someone goes, I want to play a clip of you from the internet.
Yeah.
And he said, I have a bone to pick with you first.
And at this point,
that's just dwarf phrasing. You have nothing to fear.
I'm already, vagina's so sweaty. More than usual.
All right, this is from the Kevin Nealon show from the last
Oh, I already know what you're going to say. I already know what this is. I feel bad about this already.
And what if your baby was a dwarf?
Ooh. Motherfucker.
That's a hard one.
Would you put him up for adoption?
Yes.
That's an inside joke.
No, you can't tell when they're babies.
She's right.
What are you talking about?
What age can you tell?
You can tell.
I think you start to tell. I think it's like a 2 to 3 year
I'm
old.
I'm sweating so much.
Would you ever abort a child?
No. Well, not again.
I've never had an abortion, by the way.
Yeah. I like how people didn't laugh at that.
And by the way, I feel like Ari Shaffir right now on the spot.
Hilarious. Very topical.
Jade,
I wouldn't abort a child.
Yeah.
Period. By the way, I've never been aborted.
Well, you're here.
No, I mean, I've never aborted.
Oh, okay.
I've never had an abortion, truthfully.
Yeah,
and
okay.
I don't think I could actually ever do it, even if it was a little person. That's a joke that me and Kevin have.
You hear that, Nick?
You hear it, Nick?
But
I'm
so like
really
so
sweaty.
So like, what do you have against dwarves? Like why do you hate us and want to eradicate the entire dwarf race?
I think you're typical dwarf fashion.
So
sweaty, to blow it out
like
of proportion.
Already in the beginning. Yeah. I mean, just to make it bigger than themselves, you know.
Why do you gotta make size an issue? I'm out of here. Listen, you guys.
I actually, when I saw that, I was like, oh. Like, what? I think the yes felt funny in the moment.
Of course.
And then I said it, and then I was like, ooh. And that clip is like one of the most played clips of my stand-up ever.
Also, Nealon makes you feel so comfortable to, like, you want to always be yes-anding what he's doing.
Always. You know? But also, I did a college, and a little person asked me about that.
Get out, really?
Yeah. And I also have this joke about this guy who was a stub hand that I dated.
Okay.
Real guy who dumped me, actually.
Was he my t-ball coach? Because he also had a stub hand.
But yeah, my guy had a stub hand, and he was like star football player. Everybody wanted to fuck him.
Well, sure. I mean, what a freaking stiff arm.
Yeah.
He just puts a damn pendulum to their
face.
No,
he would just like catch the ball, and it's something about his like little fingers which just really catch, just make the ball stick. But and I made this joke, and the girl had she was a little person with a stub hand.
A little person with a stub hand?
Yeah.
What did her parents do that God punished them
much? And she was like, what's your problem with me? Like exactly what you did.
Oh,
I'm so sweaty. I'm like sweating on your chair.
Oh, you're fine.
But then I was like, oh, it's just, I didn't know like how to explain it.
It's an interesting thing that you bring that up because like very seldomly do we get confronted about our material. Like
I'm just calming down now. I feel really bad.
No,
just listen.
But if you were my child, I would have fucked.
That sweat you're hearing is the sweat of our guest, Jade Catapretta.
Yeah. And don't worry,
guys.
Jade. You're in a very safe place. You have a lavender vanilla candle right in front
What's
of you.
What's this flavor?
Oh, turn around and see. Maroon. You're going to be pleasantly surprised. Nope, the other way. No, well, there's a label on the front.
Oh, what is it? Thin Mints? Interesting. It smells... Similar.
Well, you got to wait for it to really fill up the room, I feel like.
Oh, I see.
The guy, the very pleasant gay man named Rich, who sold that to me in Omaha, Nebraska, pitched me very hard on that one. He goes,
Well, we've got a whole bunch of new flavors from our treasure family. There's Scoop, Strawberry Scoop, Summer Scoop, Scoop Scoop, Goof Troop Scoop, Whoop, There It Is Scoop, Hula Hoop Scoop.
And Thin Mints.
And Thin Mints. Yeah. And I was like,
there's
I'll take
young women selling these all across the country. Like, God damn it, Yankee Candle.
Oh, yeah.
Wait, I want to bring this up because this is a really interesting point. The Ari thing's been like bothering me. I have no one or the other.
We can for sure talk about it because I have been kind of battling with talking about it publicly because.
But this brings up, this is an interesting thing.
Right. Do you want to just fill people in on what happened?
Yeah, for those who don't know, comedian and former, former guest of the podcast.
I
was about to say former friend, like, oh, God.
He's
over. What's wrong with me? But yeah, Ari Shaffir went on his TV show and did some stand up about a comedian who has one arm and is slightly overweight and said some flattering things about her
and mentioned her name,
but first and last name. Right. And there wasn't really a joke.
There was no joke.
Yeah.
Well, there was a fat joke.
No, there was a joke about she. Really, the only joke I can maybe find in or structurally written was that she smelled bad because she couldn't clean under her fat rolls because she only has one arm.
Right.
She has another arm.
Yeah, and I think
her life's not that bad. She has one other arm.
No, but I'm saying like she, if it was a, you know what I mean, maybe a joke about like what's her other arm doing know what I mean.
Sure.
If there was like a punchline,
judging
to
the
it.
Way the, sure. the other arm. Well, I think. It was just a very personal attack, and it was
very personal.
And it was it was just straight up. He found the person. He said in the premise, was that she was just very annoying,
right?
And then he just couldn't stand her. And then it was, and then to make matters worse, she has one arm and it's fat. It became like the reasons he found her annoying,
right?
And I kept watching the clip, waiting for some sort of like
being like, it's Ari. It's Ari. He can like,
well, he's what I mean. I don't know him too well off stage, but from judging from his stand-up and his demeanor, it's like, oh, I feel like there's some demons, there's some anger.
Definitely.
Like brewing heavily.
And then there's the other side of it, of course. So she made a video.
Yeah.
Comedy Central aired it, and then she made a video, you know, kind of explaining she's had a kind of a tough life. She grew up in the foster system.
Right. And then she lost the arm, not at birth, but it was actually ripped off in a car accident.
So, after, and then she kind of shared other things, like her sister had been raped, which, you know, it was like, felt a little bit victim, you know, a little victimized.
Sure.
I mean,
You
know, I think if she just straight up had said, hey, man, like, you just said all these things about me. I've had a really tough life. Like, you know, there wasn't even a punchline. Like, fuck you. It would have been more solid than, like, oversharing.
Then you thought maybe she took it as a platform to also just kind of, like.
Yeah, I did. And I've always felt like, you know, I really like funny stuff, but I never want to be, like, that roasty type of comic who hurts people.
Yeah.
And then when you played me that clip, it's like, you're always going to be on the line of, on the verge of maybe hurting someone.
Well, you kind of have to be
subjective.
Comedy, yeah.
Exactly.
There's always going to be some group. I can make 1,000 Twitter jokes that are supposedly funny, maybe halfway funny. And then, like,
I'd say you're batting like. Your batting average with Twitter jokes is like you're like the Edgar Martinez of Twitter.
I'll take that. Yeah, solid
like,
batting
that's
average.
That's like that's like 329.
I have no idea who that is, but yes.
No, that's like a 329 career average.
Yeah, that's
like,
wow. Yeah. I don't know what that number means.
But that means like a third of the jokes are funny.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. I'll take that.
I'll take that. But then if you make that one joke and then some person says like, "Hey, I'll make a joke
all the
about
funny ones are erased.
Yeah, I'll make a joke about hamsters and someone said, "Hey, my sister died from a hamster attack."
But I'm trying to think back on, like, you know, when he asked me, like, I'm trying to think back. If I had said no, I wouldn't have gotten a laugh there.
Right.
It was like, know, that
and
got Neil the laugh.
Also, and that's
but of course I don't mean that, but then did Ari not mean it? Well, he said her entire name.
And it was unprovoked. That's the thing. There was they had no Twitter.
No lead in.
Tiff. Mm-hmm. They had no encounter. As she said, she goes, I think I've had two paragraphs of dialogue with this man.
Right.
And that was my big problem with it, was just like, man, there's not enough shit out in the world for you to like pull from to make jokes about that you have to. Also, that's just a straight up like, anytime it's just how it works with human behavior. Like you attack somebody else to make yourself feel better or to get laughs. It's stemming from insecurities and, you know, like maybe so whatever it is that he's feeling bad in himself about had to attack her because to do that. And there's two sides of the story, I guess, but it does. It seems like we got them, but maybe there's more. Maybe there's more. But I feel like also, if he were to really come out and defend his reason for that, he would have done it at this point and been like, you guys don't know, maybe like she, I don't know, fucking tried to burn my house. I mean,
right,
you know,
we don't know. We don't know. Because I, also, like, he's not really speaking. I mean, he doesn't want to be bothered. I'm sure everybody's bothering
him. I think
him
he's also
this.
At a point, too, where he's like, I'm established enough. I don't, and I know that he's comes from the you know, when you see like Natasha Leggero when she got shit for a Twitter joke she made about,
the veterans.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was on like NBC's New Year's Eve.
And she didn't apologize and have a great response to it. And
no,
then,
but
like,
I agreed with her on that one. It was like a general kind of state. Like when you're singling someone out specifically.
Unprovoked, too. That's my problem with it. It's like, there's not an, like, you know.
And but at the same time, as comics, we all know the importance of free speech and have to fight for the. And there's a great clip, and I probably watch it like once a month of Patrice O'Neill on Fox News when someone's bringing up about Opie and Anthony made a rape joke, and everyone's like, they should be fired.
All right,
and taken
didn't
off
Opie
the air.
Didn't one of the guys get fired eventually?
Anthony did.
Yeah,
Anthony. And so they're asking Patrice like, are rape jokes funny? And Patrice says flat out, he's like, sometimes. He's like, sometimes they're funny, but you can't, you have to allow us to attempt to be funny.
I agree.
You can't say, don't talk about this at all, because there could be funny rape jokes out there. They're much harder to do.
Of course.
They're way harder to do. And just like any sort of joke about someone personally or anything like that is harder to do in any group. But you have to allow for the attempt to be funny.
Yeah, like the, you know, Bikram, the hot yoga.
Yeah,
yeah.
The guy
I'm
who
about
invented
to do it for the first
Bikram.
Time in 2 weeks, by the way, and I'm really
love
excited.
It. Yeah, you're gonna feel. Don't drink coffee.
A sentence I thought I'd never say.
Don't drink too much coffee.
Wait, did Adam Rage say? I'm very excited to do Bikram yoga.
Well,
I'm gonna do a juice cleanse.
Yeah,
right to that
don't
point.
Don't drink that coffee.
Why?
It doesn't match well when you do yoga. I try not to drink coffee before.
Oh, people get the.
The coffee farts?
The coffee fart? No. Do you get coffee farts? Is
no,
that a thing?
No.
No, what I was saying, Bic, that guy, the guy
I
who
get
invented.
Coffee poops, but I think that's normal.
Yeah, that's sure. That's normal, Adam. Yeah.
Whoa. You're making me rethink my children's book
no,
series I was going to write.
Coffee makes everyone poo. But he like allegedly raped all these women, or you know, and then
Bikram yoga guy,
the big guy who invented Bikram, and so and all the news about it has been coming out. And yesterday it came out, and my class was like empty. And right away, I wanted to make a joke about how, like, well, it turns out, you know, like, rape helps some of us, or, you know, whatever, something well-written, more well-written.
I was able to get into this
class. Something a little better
than
rape helps people.
Yeah,
right,
but immediately, that was my thought. Yeah, immediately, that was my thought to make a joke about it.
Right.
And then I had that moment where I've, like, been thinking about the Ari stuff and, like, the power of having a microphone and the things we can say and the things we can't say. And I was like, maybe not now. Maybe, like, pull it back.
And I think, there is a time and a place. And I want to ask, are you guys of the mindset of nothing's off limits?
See,
because
it's hard.
Yeah, I want to say nothing
it's also,
is off limits.
It's also to your personal preference. Like,
right.
I don't consider myself a roast type comic, but like when I do crowd work, sometimes I always kill people with kindness. Like I always give people chances. Even when I had to kick out a group of 10 women in Sacramento, and then I ended up buying everyone in the punchline. It was my first night headlining there, first time at the club. And these women were being obnoxious and loud. And I kept giving them chances. I gave them three chances where I would include them and try to use them to go back into a bit. And then finally it was just like, guys, you got to just like – and then, you know, bicker, banter. Two other people started yelling at me for yelling at them.
When you
and
turn, then, they turn.
And then I kicked the two people out. And then the group of women got up and left because they were that were talking in the first place because I kicked out the two people that were trying to defend them. So I bought everyone there a drink. And it ended up being like, you know, a lot of money.
I know. I can't walk away. I can't just walk away with people mad at me. I'm not that kind of person.
Totally. And it was my first night at this club. And the show was great aside from these people. So I had to save the room. And it hit me and I was like – it felt right. That being said, I still like I give people chances because immediately to get aggressive and abrasive is like, hey, the audience is going to turn on you, and you want to keep people on your side. But for all of us, like it's different. Like what is your
none
of us are that
right
edgy. You know,
I'm not really. Yeah,
no.
I don't like
political
hurting people.
Or racial. Right.
Right. I mean, well, because I know that like when it comes to politics, I don't follow it that well.
Me either.
And
yeah.
so I know if something happens in politics, I'm like, well, I'm not that smart. I can't make that joke because I don't know about it.
Right. You can't fight yourself out of it. If
right.
like, what?
Yeah. So yeah. if I make an Obama joke and someone says, fuck you, he actually did this, I've got no comeback for that.
Yeah, I'm like, coffee makes people poop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I think it's more... I think it's more recognizing your own personal skill set. If you're a comic, because I've seen I've seen comics like Ian Bagg dig themselves out of amazingly like deep holes that
right.
I could never do. And so much respect for that guy. He can make yeah. anything funny. So it's like, okay, well, he can do that. Me personally, or like if you're Gilbert Gottfried, you've built up a career of just like, yeah. well, what was tragic? I'll scream about it, you
right.
know, and then you kind of have that skill set. I don't have that skill set.
Yeah, playing to the truth of the top of your intelligence. They always yeah. say that when you play improv, you always play with like stuff you know,
yeah.
so
right.
you can like rant. I kind of started doing stand up because I loved going to stand up, but I always felt like the butt of the joke were women, and
really?
I kind of wanted to be like,
this is in Brazil?
No, oh. like. Yeah, when I was a little girl watching stand-up.
Well,
stand-up just started in Brazil, like in the last, like, maybe, God, I want to say 10 years.
Wow.
Not even.
Who is there already been
there's not a lot of female.
But is there, like, a main, like, already, like, a Jeff Dunham of Brazil comedy?
There's, like, a fat older dude who's, like, you know what, like, it's all very observational.
Like?
It's very, like, Telemundo type of,
you know when you're trying
like,
to get papaya and it's, like, all sold out from the local market?
Hey, excuse me, guava?
Yeah, guava.
Brazil is guava, that's sir.
Okay.
Right, so this guy's never been to Brazil.
Yeah.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
Papaya sounded right.
Yeah, it did. It sounded tropical.
By the way, you're focusing on the wrong part. Did you hear my Brazilian accent?
Which was like heavy Mexican.
I sounded like a heavy Mexican cartoon, like Pepe Le Pew's
that's
nemesis.
Just like it.
Hey, man, all the papaya's been sold out from the store.
Oh, my God, I feel like you just took me back to Brazil.
When did you move here from Brazil?
When I was 13, so 1990 something.
So that's okay. That's a significant amount of time you spend
there. Oh, yeah.
There.
I still have friends when they're like, hey, remember when you didn't speak English? I'm like, yeah, super fun times for me.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. I was like ESL. Didn't speak any English. I would spend all day in these little like grape, you know, like learning. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. So I'm very determined because of it.
The English, like I would never for a minute guess that.
I talk a lot. It's a lot of practice.
Wait, so
for
grape. So wait, so you grape and like what are the beginning words for a Brazil to English like
all the
translation?
The fruits always. The
I love
fruits
that they
are
start
like
with
important.
Fruits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would watch like really shitty TV. I would watch like Barney and stuff. Like when I was like 13.
Don't talk bad about the purple dinosaur.
I know, but
in this
I liked
damn house.
It. Yeah.
Yourself.
But
yeah.
I needed it. It's like how I like sitcoms were really important to me.
They
That's
would
like,
give you these to watch, or they would say
no. I would just find okay. them. I was okay. just obsessed with TV. I had a TV in my room, and I would watch sitcoms and go like. One day. And I think that's where it started. But actually, you're really important to how I started stand-up. You
Wait,
were one
what's
of,
this story?
I know. It's really crazy.
Why? Adam Ray.
This is like the third You Help Me Get My Life Going podcast
Oh, wow.
story. No,
Who
no,
was
no.
the other?
No. Well, Justin Ruppel was on the show and said yeah. how when we first met in Seattle, I'd been doing stand-up maybe a year, but was living down here.
Yeah.
And I came home to Seattle, and he was like, he saw me as an L.A. guy who was making it, you know, so... So and I
little did he know.
He asked me. He was like, and then
little did he know.
Yeah, and then
he lived with eight other dudes. In West
yeah. Harry Styles from One Direction also
oh,
credited
wow.
Adam uh-huh. with helping him uh-huh. get started into boy bands.
Yep.
With his enthusiasm for 98 Degrees.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And Danny Bonaducci asked me if he should stay a fire crotch or go full blonde. And
what
I
did
said,
he decide?
I said, be you.
Oh wow, he's bald now. Just shaved.
I feel like we should pour one out. Pour a bottle of Rogaine out on the ground.
Wash your mouth out. When I first moved out here, okay. My friend was interning at National Lampoon, and mm-hmm. I got a job there doing some like college humor show with Kato Kaelin. Don't mean to drop so many big names.
Hey, Thank if you want to see an old school Adam Ray TV sketch, go to my website and type in Adam Ray Kato Kaelin Spring Break
yes.
Games.
Oh man, Oh wait. I wonder if I've seen that one.
You probably have.
But this was like
you
when Sandy.
You and 2,000 other people.
Yeah. Me and my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
When Sandy. And Sandy was writing on the show when like YouTube was not YouTube yet and Sandy
yes.
was like the biggest thing online. Remember?
Yes. And Lampoon was a big
yeah,
deal.
Lampoon
because
was
they
huge
were
deal.
At the press. Funny or Die hadn't come out yet. Lampoon, boy, did they miss the boat.
Boy,
man.
Did they miss the boat.
On,
well, money laundering.
On
Bummer.
Being a big. On, on having a resurgence of, like, I mean, A, because with the Lemmings, too, all the Workaholics guys were in the Lemmings.
They were in that
group.
Touring
improv group.
Oh, rest in peace, man.
Okay, so you're working there.
So I'm working there, and the Sandy and the other guys are like, you should do stand-up.
Sandy Danto.
Sandy Danto, yeah. Who I love.
Former guest of this podcast.
Yes, he was like, you should do stand-up. And I'm like, I'd rather kill a baby. But he was like, come tonight. We're going to get high. We're going to go watch my friend Adam Ray at the Comedy Store. And I remember
Sandy
like,
had just started too, maybe, I think.
Like, just started working at the Comedy Store, like maybe a year or two.
Because we became friends to our friend Spencer, who's...
Spencer?
Yeah.
It's an ex-boyfriend name that makes me feel weird every time. Oh, Spencer. God. Just makes me think of shimming. I don't know why.
You know who Spencer is to me? Spencer, a kid I went to elementary school with, who was the kid who always pulled his pants down when he went pee.
Oh, I love
you
that.
Had a Spencer like that?
See, everybody, I love
I had a
names.
Spencer like that.
I feel like that's you were the Spencer.
How dare you, sir?
The way you said
no,
that.
No, no. Excuse me. I was the kid that had to ask Spencer to hold me up so I could pee. Excuse me.
Spencer's like, let me get my pants
I
on.
Mean, he was essentially, we were Lenny. He was my, of Mice and Men, Lenny. And he had to like hold
me
up.
He didn't know his own strength. Careful, he'll crush you.
Yeah, he kind of tried to pet me one time, and that's why I'm missing three layers of skin on my back.
So soft. So soft.
So soft.
Okay, so.
So here we are. I'm smoking California weed for the first time and last.
From where? So this
too much for you.
California weed. So you would.
No,
you went from Brazil to Los Angeles.
No, no. Oh, man, no. 13, I moved to Charlottesville, Virginia, where they don't know where Brazil was.
So they just said, time. Oh, so you're Mexican.
So yeah, they're like, wow, what's it like to speak Spanish and wear shoes? I was like, it's great. You know, not
it's
as tiring
Spanish,
from vine to vine.
It's Portuguese, but okay.
But yeah, people didn't know. Like they had never met anyone from Brazil. This one girl smelled me like my first day of school. She was like,
just as I thought, papaya.
Yeah. It's guava, you idiot.
All right,
I'm trying
off.
To get
wait,
this
reference. I do
Charlottesville,
come.
Virginia.
Yeah, okay.
Didn't speak English, started speaking English. Then went to, like, I did this.
Grape.
Like, great.
Barney and friends.
I have a video that's like showing off her English to my grandma. It's like, this is a microwave and this is air conditioning. And this is,
my God, yeah, you're so adorable.
This is before I had braces and I'm just wearing like a bra and underwear and my dad's smoking behind the smoking a cigarette. With the filming inside.
Jade, where is our papaya?
Yeah, with his mustache.
This sounds like the most dangerous porno of all time.
Man, our house, we just bought our house and we hadn't done anything to it. Just like, you know, like red carpets. Like, what is this?
God.
Then I went to New York. That's where I found my gay people in dance and improv and stuff like that. And
you were a big dancer for a while.
Big dance. I was into dance since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. What type specifically?
Ballet, modern.
All right.
Hip-hop, jazz.
Hell
jazz
yeah.
Was really my jam. I just like really liked.
Jazz is very sharp movements.
Yeah, just like.
Yeah,
extending your arms.
Like Nicholas and I both were in show choir, so that's how we really initially bonded.
That's amazing.
I love that you call him Nicholas.
Yeah, Nicky. Uncle Nicky.
Nick Rutherford we're talking about. I feel
like you just let us in on some private moments.
No. Josh Nassar came up with that nickname, and
Uncle
I love
Nicky.
It. Uncle Nicky.
Okay, I want to get then, more into... Okay, keep going.
New York, then I went to school in Boston.
We'll eventually get back to how I shaped your career.
So then we go to the Comedy Store, and I'm like stoned, and I have this weird sense of familiarity there. My dad was a big fan, and I like always knew the history. But you know, like the swing doors, I like went through the swing doors into the kitchen and I had this weird, this sounds so cheesy,
nope.
But I had
do
this
it.
Weird sense like I'd been there like many times before. It felt very familiar to me. Like,
what do you think that was?
I don't know. I guess I like idolized it for a long time from
so you
a
knew,
distance.
You knew of the Comedy Store.
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And I had always been scared to go. I went when I was like 20 with my dad and they wouldn't even let me in because the stuff with a coincident with Eric Marino had just happened. Remember, his girlfriend was underage.
Right.
And so...
So like, your dad introduced you to comedy and really...
Yeah, he was like Andrew Dice Clay, okay. Cheech and Chong, the most stereotypical, like, you know, gross. That's who I am.
Yeah, okay.
And so, yeah, I had this weird sense of familiarity. And then we went to the green room. You weren't there, but I think Chris Rock was there that night.
He was. It was in the main room?
Yeah, and it was...
By the way...
What's her name? Kathy! It was Kathy's show.
Kathy Lewis, man! Kathy Lewis!
Who is a hilarious comedian and very sweet woman who gave me a lot of stage time on her Bringer shows.
Yeah, she did.
And you know, those first 2 years where I was like, I'm a comedian because I do it once every 4 months on a Bringer show.
I thought you were the shit.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Kathy, real quick, though, is... And maybe we should have her on. Does the... has a voice like you've never heard before.
It's like scratch like these. She's like, oh, God,
she sounds like a Muppet.
She
plays back.
Sandy does it really well. Like, how you doing?
Yeah. Well, she has this thing where she goes,
she sounds like this,
but then she gets all down like this. So her jokes will go like,
man, people are pissed off because President Bush is president. Who cares?
And she's gay. So she's like,
man, everyone's worried about the wall and Condoleezza Rice. Who cares if Kathy wants to eat some pussy?
That's such a great joke.
And she'd talk about how she would call, people would call her.
This doing two different voices is great because people call, my landlord calls like, hey, Kathy, is Kathy there? And I'll be like,
I don't know who you're talking about. You got the wrong number. Kathy ain't been living here for years.
She's like the female Jiminy Glick.
She's great.
Yeah.
She's really great.
All right, so it's her show. You see me.
It's her show. I go backstage to go find you and like meet you. I hadn't met you yet. And literally Chris Rock brushes by my shoulder and I'm like, what the fuck? And he's actually up to then the only celebrity I had ever met or seen.
Good start.
When I was like in New York, I met him and I have a picture with him. I've never looked whiter and like just see through. And then he brushes by me and then we're sitting in the audience watching you. And I was like, I want to do this. Whoa. I was like, I want to do this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Adam Ray, everyone. Yeah. Inspiring careers.
But it could have been part of that. It could have also been, she's like, that doesn't look that tough.
Look at this fucking
anybody could do this.
Okay. This guy's talking about being Wolverine. Yeah. Big fucking
go
deal.
On stage, talk about Pop-Tarts and DuckTales, get huge laughs. Done.
You know this fucking guy can do it.
Easy. You know what's funny? I think I had a joke too at that time about the, and I for sure did because I was finding some old clips a while ago and I found a clip that I think was from that show where I talked about the dollar store and how I go, because I lived right next to it, and I go, I went in there and bought 600 cups the other day. I'll see if I can remember this. I was like, I bought 600 cups. I go, because it was a dollar for 600 and I'm not an asshole. I'm not going to turn down a good deal. I go, now I got so many cups lying around, I give them out as birthday presents now. I go, and I'm never going to not need cups. And it was like, and I played out this whole scene where it was with a buddy where he was like, what'd you get me? And I was like, 50 cups, man. And he's like, what? He's like, and I was like, yeah, man. He's like, you didn't spend too much on this, did you? And I was like, no. And then I'm like giving out cups at like, you know,
$50 is a lot to spend
for sure. And no, it was $1 for 600 cups.
I thought it was a dollar a cup. I was like, you're spending $600.
Yeah. No. I saw the deals are so good that you get 600 cups.
Yeah, you're going to strip clubs and you're like making it rain cups.
Right. See, this is the problem with the joke. There were a lot
of
questions.
Great. Yeah.
But also funny to note, Chris Rock that night. Yeah. I went home immediately and posted on Facebook. I opened for Chris Rock.
We all did that night.
And do you know how long ago that was?
How long ago?
8 years ago.
Yeah.
Wow.
Holy
I just,
MacGyver.
That was you were probably seeing my like 10th show.
That's crazy because Sandy was like, we've been doing, we're in the game. Come check out the game.
But you know what? You need, like, and you, but you were friends with Sandy, and it was like, it's just so crazy how that shit happens because now you're a touring comedian. And
it's
like,
crazy.
You, like, having a friend to be comfortable to go there, and then you having those feelings, and then, like, you know, having a purpose to go to, like, see somebody, and then seeing Chris Rock. So it was probably a pretty, like, epic night as
it
far
was.
As.
It was. It was super epic. And I met Dean that night. Do you remember Dean? You guys remember Dean?
Yeah, the
of
old
course.
Manager, yeah.
And I was just like, I was still like, I wasn't bitter yet because I hadn't lived in LA. And I was like, I had just come from Emerson where I was like, this shit, you know?
You still had hopes and dreams.
Yeah, I was this actress. I was like, I went to breathing college. And and I was like, I want a job here. And I was like, I want a job here. And he was like, well, there's not really anything you could do. You could, what do you want to do? I was like, I want to take tickets. And they're like, women can't do that here. It was still like that. And I was like, but I'm going to do it. And then. The next day, one of the bartenders got fired because she was like drinking or something bad, you know, whatever.
A bartender drinking on the job?
And then I started bartending like a week later. So
had
I started working there like a week later.
Had you ever bartended
later.
Before?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I actually had another bartending job. Yeah.
Okay. Back in college or?
No, in LA already. I had some bartending job.
Okay.
I had like five jobs at a time.
I was going to say,
the
what were your?
Craziest shit. Catering. I worked for a bar mitzvah company. Through Sandy, actually, for like 8 years.
I thought before you said like Sandy, the listeners can hear
Sandy.
Jay just looked and pointed at me, so I thought she was going to go bar mitzvah, right, Jew? You know what that means. But okay,
he inspired me to want to be a Jew. Fucking Jew can do it.
Wait, what was that like? Bar mitzvah, catering bar mitzvahs?
Amazing. I used to do a lot in Detroit, and the kids in Detroit are like, oh, and here they're like, oh, please, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I was like the person who like danced with the dads and like.
You've always had a lot of charisma, haven't you?
Yeah, it's the only thing I have. Literally, if I could just use charisma for jobs.
Oh, it's doing you just fine.
Move. It's been working out.
Okay, so the bar job. So those were your like day jobs before stand up and acting, really.
Yeah.
I imagine it's really hard being a bartender, like starting at the Comedy Store, because you have this mixture of people that are coming there a lot who are comedians that expect you to kind of know them, and then then you have just homeless people off the street.
Oh yeah, I had some weird homeless people experiences.
Hey, just because my hoodies weren't clean doesn't mean I was.
You have some established talented comedians, yeah. And then you have Adam Ray. Yeah. Like you have a lot of people coming up to you.
Yeah.
Hey man, I was in the heat.
I've been doing it 10 times.
Yeah.
But like,
I just remember I was like, Adam he's always got cool t-shirts on.
I did wear a lot of t-shirts at one point.
I didn't think you liked me in the very beginning because you're shy, and I always misinterpret that for people
funny?
Not
yeah.
liking me. Yeah, well, I'm just starting to let that go.
It took me a while to get comfy around the stand-up. Like, to be, also, that's one of the great things about stand-up. A, it helps you find your comedic voice, but like, also your life voice. You're like,
because I mean, comfortable.
Yeah, and it just, and also, you know, until I really feel like I'm, you know, I think, you know, being around the Comedy Store, even working there, still just feeling like you're up. You and I both, when we start working there, you probably feel more a part of things.
Oh, yeah. I miss
but
feeling
still,
that there because I don't perform there anymore.
I'm not there a lot either.
Yeah.
But you know, it takes you a moment to get like just comfortable in your own skin as a human being. So I think
that place changed me. It changed me. Not in like in some good ways. It gave me this thick skin.
Well,
but
should,
in
yeah,
some bad ways, it also made me like, what do you want from me? Like, like people are like, oh, go ahead, before me. I'm like, no, you go before me. You're going to stab me in the back? No. Like, I like have this weird, like, I'm ready for anything to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's what the Comedy Store does.
Yeah.
It makes it so when you go out and play any other room across the country, you're good because you've survived the OR at the Comedy Store.
They were
so
Tony. They were all so mean to me. Sean Halpin, like I'm friends with all of them now.
Yeah.
But they were just because they were pissed off too. They weren't getting stage time either. They had to work there. I was probably making more money than them because tips.
Yeah, it's like, well, we could tip Sean Halpin, who's a 200-pound dude from Texas, or we can tip the hot girl.
And I'm like, hey, and I'll give you a free drink. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Thank you, by the way. But I met a lot of cool people, and I went through a lot with like my core group of class, like Matt Egger, Tony Hinchcliffe, Benji. That group is like they'll be my brothers forever.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Well, because you. And at the same time, I mean, I feel like that's one of the reasons why me and Adam are friends, because we kind of started same time, coming through USC. I needed someone to reach stuff for me.
Right, like, right. He's tall, not doing much anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
He goes, I need a Schwarzenegger to my DeVito.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, I'll never forget
that.
I have a tattooed on my ass. But
I'm really jealous of that. I feel lonely in this industry. Guys.
What?
Everybody's got a group or like a partner or like a podcast friend. And
you got a boyfriend who's on Saturday Night Live. That works.
Yeah, he's got Saturday Night Live. He doesn't need me.
Oh, okay.
We do stuff together, actually. We really enjoy working together. We were in one of Adam's videos together.
Yeah,
there you go.
You were so good. I have people that are like, you're making that movie, right? And a lot of people that compliment you the most out of it.
Oh, stop it. I really like my nails in that video.
The
movie is this?
The Pottsworthy trailer for...
it's not... Oh, no, I thought we were talking about...
The Valentine's
about,
Day one.
The herpes thing together. Or not that, herpes.
Yeah, the Valentine's Day, the follow-up to it.
Wait, what kind of herpes thing did you guys do together?
Well, remember
we gave herpes to each other?
Oh, wow. Okay, that's fantastic. Well,
Adam actually inspired me to start taking herpes meds. Yeah.
I saw this guy performing and thought, wow, anyone could
get herpes.
I get herpes too.
All right, after the last die down, let me just clear the air. I've never had any sort of lip fungus or any sort of sexually transmitted disease.
Not anymore. Thank you, free clinic.
I'm as clean as Mr. Clean's head.
I got herpes. What's our song?
So that was the so remember the sketch I did where
Bethany Dwyer,
I sang the song about how I got herpes, which by the way, that sketch was my first video they put on the front page of Funny.
Oh, I love that sketch.
And one of my buddies hits me up and goes, hey, my 2 6-year-old kids are singing that song. Thanks a lot, man. And I go, hey, fuck you, dude. Why are you showing my comedy to your 6-year-olds?
I was saying, time you're like, I mean, yeah, build a fan base,
yeah, build
but
a fan
six.
Base, but yeah, six. Give them 2 more years.
Yeah.
And so we did a follow up that was that flashed back to that.
That's
it was another song that I'd written to basically tell another girl that I'd given her.
How did it but go? Like, I don't want to.
Jeez, you're like Joey from Friends, where
the
you're like, I got so
are
many
very
STDs.
Catchy.
Thank you.
Very catchy. And now I have the herpes one
and
stuck in
so
my
good.
Head.
It's type in my name plus Valentine's Day.
Gonorrhea. Gonorrhea. I'm trying to think of the gonorrhea one.
It was gonorrhea.
Oh, because I got gonorrhea.
Because you, he'll pull it up.
I would love to record something in this. Oh, my God, remember what you...
Do you sing?
I do. I sing. I went to school for musical theater.
That's right. So did I.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's all I did.
I'm dying to do a comedy musical.
Me
I don't even
too.
Want to say it out loud because I'm scared somebody will take it and not me put me in.
Brett Moore and I have been fishing around ideas for a while to write a musical movie, but not like, but it's where the songs come in.
It needs to be dirty. Like, it needs to be a little sad and a little grungy.
Yes.
Like, stand-up is lonely. It needs to be that.
And also, why can't we have a South Park type movie?
I have goosebumps right now. This needs to happen.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll bring you in on this.
Well, I mean, does the gonorrhea song get to be included?
Oh, yes, of course. But also...
Opening number.
Yeah.
Casey Balsham. Have you ever heard her sing?
No.
She did they did Ha the Musical in New York, which was like about comics, but it was cheery and like, comedy sucks. You know, and it was great. Everybody had a great voice in it, but Casey had like inspiring voice in it. You got to look out for her.
It's pretty great when people, especially comics, can sing because you're like, oh, you
forget we have other talents. Yeah.
Wait, did
we
you
do other stuff?
Did you real quick before you play that, Brad? Did you? So you want to be on Broadway at one point?
I still want to be on Broadway 100%. Anytime I'm in New York, I'm like circling West Side, like I'm circling auditions, pretending like I'm going to learn a monologue. Like, oh, today is the day I go back to theater.
Wow.
But yeah, I plan to go back to New York and try to get into some theater.
That would be fucking awesome. And I think
you should.
You would crush.
I'm
trying.
Plus, like the skill sets that you've acquired via stand-up. It would totally give you a leg up in the situation.
Yeah, I'm dying to.
Did you see the Lion King musical?
Of course.
That opening. Have you seen it, Brad?
What? Excuse me. I was the little Simba puppet that they held up. Did I see the Lion King musical?
They just put a tiny tail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, the cast had a little game of pin the tail on Brad before, before the show.
Is that why Skittles fell out of his pouch when he was getting held up?
There was one time, guys. It was one time.
Do you love Skittles?
I'm a midget. Of course I love Skittles. What silly question is that?
Please isolate that audio and make it my ringtone.
Yes, I'm a midget.
Skittles.
We love Skittles. It's they're one of the first things I did when I moved into my new. And this is not even a joke. Yeah. When I moved into my new apartment,
quit the chocolate factory
first. That and then because that union is bullshit. And then I just put out a little dish that had Skittles in it. And then people would walk in, look down to a dwarf's apartment, see a bowl of Skittles, and go, "Well, this makes sense."
Yeah. Or "Where's the bowl of gold?"
Yeah. I interchange it with the bowl of Skittles.
That's amazing.
I thought it'd be original.
Yeah, I mean, because I think to myself, what would put people most at ease walking into a dwarf's apartment for the first time?
Yeah, it's true. Bowl of Skittles.
Bowl of Skittles.
But did you have to open a bunch of individual packs and pour them out onto a bowl?
Well,
no.
I just got the Costco size thing of Skittles, which, by the way, made everyone's day that saw me purchase that thing because I'm walking down the aisle with this for me, it looks like the knockoff cereal brands because they come in 30-pound drums.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm have this big king size pack of Skittles. People are like, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
He must have been behind him for the whole village.
Yeah.
People are going, this is too many Skittles. Who buys this? And then the little person is carrying them.
It's he's feeding his people. He's going home to feed the mama dwarf and the
Skittles.
Baby dwarves.
They're the perfect
best.
Candy. Chewy, little, not too hard to chew. Starburst, too much chewing.
Too much chewing.
Yeah.
Do you have, again, real quick, because this is a great tangent, your favorite snack or if you're on the road or you're just having a down day and you're like,
I'm a sucker for Lay's originals. Oh,
okay.
Man, they hurt my mouth. They're so salty.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, do I have a paper cut from this?
So now, are you the person where they're coming out with flavors like wasabi ginger? You're like, fuck you.
It's
all about original.
I like original. I like pickle, which is hard to find here, only in the Midwest.
Yeah.
And I like salt and vinegar.
Yeah, those are the best.
All right.
Yeah.
And in New York and in Canada, they have Lay's ketchup.
Yeah, I'm into that.
Ridiculous.
I still haven't had the ketchup chips.
Like that.
And I love ketchup.
Fucking A. They will change your life. Remember, we fed some. Jeez, that sounds awful.
This better be an animal. You're about to finish that.
God
sentence,
damn it! Right? There was a hamster. Not
back
a
pedal.
Person.
Back pedal.
God, he's gonna suck even more because he's black.
Oh god.
No, but remember, I gave some to Dion Cole. I'm still okay.
When he was on the podcast, I gave some ketchup chips to Dion Cole.
Oh, and
by the way,
yeah, you loved him.
I love him
awesome.
In Blackish. I love Blackish. Period.
He's
but he's
a great actor.
So weird. Yep. His character's so weird. Yep. It's so great
and so funny. I think that show's going to run for a long time.
I mean, it's.
I hope so.
Yeah, I hope so too. But also, it's the perfect setup for that kind of show.
It makes you too go, oh man, awesome that like a guy that funny got a character that great where he can like really flex his muscle and be as good as, you know.
He is the comedic relief in a comedy show, which is like a weird thing.
It's a hard thing to do, but
yeah, it is.
And then he pulls it off. And the fact that they put it like with Modern Family is perfect.
We knew right away. I did a show that same season and we weren't getting any advertisement.
Manhattan Love Story.
Manhattan
mm-hmm.
Love Story.
You were so good in it.
Thanks. I felt really good about it.
You should.
I'm still a little hurt.
Of course.
It still stings a little.
But Jade,
it always, I mean.
Yeah, that was on ABC. Oh, yeah. That was one season.
They only actually aired four, and then the rest are on Hulu.
Gotcha.
Thank God for Hulu, man.
You should check it out. You're so good. And I know you're bummed because.
Yeah. I'll never get to play that character again.
Right. And that's probably what you're more bummed about. Not because you know you're going to get another show and another show. And you just are, Jade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you just are. Pilot season crushed my soul. Just a little.
For
just
sure.
Just a little. Hey, it was tough.
Hey, if you live in LA, you're trying to be an actor / comedian. You are. You're going to have your
not
soul
anymore.
Crushed.
I'm going to New York. I'm going to be a Broadway star.
Fuck this.
Bye, son. Next I don't want to sweat on my butt anymore.
Yeah. Next time we see Jade, she's going to be starring in the All Brazil production of Where's My Papaya?
Where is my papaya?
Oh, man.
I'm hooked already.
Yeah, I
suck at Sondheim. Yeah.
There it is in a tree. I better climb it.
Oh, yeah. And there's a whole scene of you like sitting in a room being like, I must learn the English language.
Dude, that's not a bad idea.
I don't know if you guys know this. This is pretty much the plot for Once on This Island.
I know.
Is that it's a new rap one? Is that the new rap?
No,
there's
Once
a new
on this
rap.
Once on This Island is an older musical that Adam and I have actually both been in.
I played a tree and a frog.
Yeah.
What? How do I not know this?
It's about a
I played
girl
a frog as well.
It's about a.
I did. And man, oh God, I had such hops back then. Now, couldn't do it.
Yeah, I was about to rehash the plot of Once on the Sound, but that's a waste of podcast time. Play the song.
All right, here's the gonorrhea song.
Oh, it's going to get stuck.
So this is me telling her, I wrote her, we had a few dates, and now I'm. And this is me writing this.
I love this part.
So I wrote this song to explain all the pain that I've had in my heart before I met you at the bar. But now we should be free to tell each other everything. So here we go. You should know. How do I say this? I've got gonorrhea. Which means you have gonorrhea, too. It's my bad. I bet you wish you'd paid attention to those clap talks from your dad. But hey, don't sweat. Gonorrhea.
I love how happy your face stays, Adam.
Yeah,
he's like,
and rocking this.
Sorry, I'm rude. This is the best.
I completely forgot to say.
Great song, I forget.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so it's, you know, the timing is perfect.
You know.
Anyway,
you've always been good at like there's a day and then you come out with a video. I'm like, oh, I should have written the Valentine's Day video.
I used to be so like
used to be on it, just,
and then you know,
but then you get a career.
Yeah, but also just like that videos. I'm sure probably the same way when you were at Lampoon. It's like it feels, and that's why Will Ferrell started Funny or Die, because it was like you have all these ideas as a creative person and you're like you want an outlet to do them. And you know, I did some video stuff in high school and in college, but I was never trying to become a YouTuber and make money. It was just like I want to do it on my own time. And when I, you know, because I see as appealing as it does seem for some of these people like that do a video every day, we're doing stand up every day. It's like I don't want to be another reason to be putting myself out there like that is just seems like too much, like oversaturation.
It gets to a point where you have to be you have to be a little more choosy with what you're doing and stuff. But I feel like I'm not exercising all the stuff I want to do because I want to act and it's hard to like, and I'm not a good writer. Like
really?
I am not, no, like.
For Girl Code, do you write all your own stuff?
Oh yeah, everything. But that's just me kind of like I'm good in the moment of like improvising and reacting, but I'm not good at like sitting down and going like, all right, here we go. Like, I don't think a lot of people are.
Interior day.
Yeah, but like Nick is such a good writer. You know, Uncle Nicky is like, should I say this time? Like, should I say it this time or like this time around? Like, he'll really play with the words, and I'm like, just think of what you want to say and say it on stage. Like, that's always been. my style.
I'm always jealous of comics that can sit down and be like, I'm going to write a funny joke right now, and then they do it. And it's like, I can't
like that
I have
either.
To have something happen, and then I go up on stage and talk about it and find
That's
the beats
how I
and
am.
Find the joke, and then I go, oh, shit, okay. And then a 10-minute thing becomes a 3-minute bit eventually. Just like
That's how I am,
yeah,
too.
Through working out. When you write like that, is it frustrating sometimes because you can't just sit down and create? Like, you literally have to wait.
Yeah, I have to wait. And then sometimes, and then oftentimes, I'm in New York now, which is a new city for me, and I feel like I have to like kind of prove myself still. So not every show I get to just rant. Mm-hmm. You know, some shows like, oh, you got
to
do your material.
You're trying to come in like, God, yeah, reintroduce yourself
yeah,
to a new.
So you're doing your 10-minute killer set.
Exactly.
And it's like, well, I know this
but
set already.
But then it feels self-masturbatory and like kind of gross. I'm like, oh, I didn't fucking work. And then, so I'm just starting to get a little more comfortable in New York where I'm like going up late and just like having a drink and just like letting myself be loose.
How quickly were you able to acclimate to like getting spots around town?
I love it there.
But I mean,
can
like,
do like 4 or 5 sets.
Because we're the same agency.
Yeah.
So it's like they're in New York.
They're awesome.
So they did a good job of inserting you and introducing.
Awesome.
But
yeah.
Also, I will say this because they try to do that for me the first few times. They're like, let me hit up this person. I go, hit them up, but I'm going to go there and meet in person because face to face is always, always better.
Oh, yeah.
Because also, you don't seem like that guy that was like, you know, oh, you show up and then they're like, my agent emailed or whatever. And you're like, I want to also come down and like get some, build some rapport with the person. So that
Of course. And it's hard sometimes because you're just like emailing random people. Yeah. Like, and then you're like, you could see me in this. And like, it feels like this weird. They don't give a fuck. But in LA, I got really good at like, what's this week? What's next week? And I would just sit down and email for hours and hours every day.
Yeah.
And then I've kind of like stopped in LA and I'll just do, if people ask, I'll do a show.
So when you're in New York, so what do you, but you go up a lot?
Yeah. In New York, I'm trying to get up every night when I'm there. Hopefully multiples.
Do you have a place you feel real comfortable at?
I love Gotham and I love New York. I love stand-up New York.
Yeah, me too.
Even though they're really far up. Like
Joe.
Joe's cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Caroline's has been really good to me. They've all been really cool. The Stand is so, so great. I hope to get up there more.
And Girl Code too, that's got to help even more.
More in New York than here, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, and did you have that moment where you started to realize like, oh, hey, people are giving me spots now.
No, it's never been like a, like I thought that with the Manhattan Love Story, inside my head when I had that show, I felt more confident.
Yeah.
But now, like, now I almost feel less confident than when I had the show.
Can I be honest with you? That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because the having the dogfight in you is always great.
Yeah. No,
you know?
I have my friends say I have career dysmorphia, where like I think that I'm always starting over when something ends, where I'm like, I'm fat.
But that's good though, because the opposite of that is walking into a club going, excuse me, I'm on Girl Code, let me on the fucking stage.
Yeah. Nobody cares.
Yeah. And
it's like I talk about my vagina freely. Like, who doesn't?
Do you like doing it though, the show?
I love doing it. Last year when I did it, I was doing also the ABC show and I wasn't really supposed to be doing it. They didn't encourage it.
Right.
And so I was a little careful and now I'm just like, I think of bits ahead of time. Like there was a naked episode. They let me do it sitting down. My whole time I was just naked and blurred out.
Whoa.
I was really excited. I hope they use it.
And how does that whole process work? Do they basically, because I've done a handful
screen,
of talking head stuff.
Same.
Like the VH1, like the 100 sexiest artists.
Worst, like the worst people you've dated.
Which, by the way, those were always such a nightmare because some of my first like TV jobs.
Me
and
too.
I would spend hours writing jokes for, they'd give you like the 100 sexiest artists.
They would give you a packet like 30, 40 pages long.
Right. And I'd go through and write, no joke, almost 10 jokes for each person.
Oh, that's crazy.
Hey, Brad, simple math. What's 10 times 100?
I mean, that's got to be about 45,000, right?
Thank you so much. I wrote 45,000 jokes. And guess what? You wouldn't hit everybody. And also, I do like sometimes like 3 or 4 jokes per thing. And they'd go, all right, can you talk about Britney Spears? And then they go, how hot is she? I go, well,
I don't have any jokes about that.
And then, or then I'd go, they go, just talk about how hot she's. Like, say you really want to have sex with her. And I like, feed me a thing. And I go, so at one point, the last time I did it, I just go, Britney Spears is hot as fuck. I want to fuck her in a shower. And the guy goes, what? I go, dude, I didn't write a joke. And you just told me to say, like,
no. Some of those are worse than others.
You come out here on
others.
The camera and say it if you want to.
And then they have, like, writers that are, like, not as funny as you, like, feeding you jokes. And you're like, I'm not doing that. And or like, put on the hat. They'll have like props and you're like, no, I'm not doing. And in the beginning, I was like, all right, what else do you want? Like, so eager. The first one I did was Latino 101. That was the first one I ever did.
I did that one.
Yeah. So and I think I might have met you back then. Those guys are so awesome.
Yeah, and it was fun. Yes. But then, just like you said, they have like, okay, we got like a feather boa. So can you like put that on? Yeah.
Why is it always like a feathered boa?
Or like a crown? Yeah.
I don't know. Because I don't know. They see a comic. They're like, well, obviously they need
props.
They
love props.
Like, look at Carrot Top. He built a career on it. So that's what they need. Like, not really.
So with Girl Code, they give you like.
They give you the subject matter, like, you know, being naked. Like, do you like being naked? And then they give you the packet of questions they're going to ask you. I try not to look it over too much.
You like to speak freely.
I like to speak freely, but I do. I will look over the packet and write at least one thing for each.
For sure.
Just to have like a thing that I say that I think is funny. Like the other day, Nick and I were coming up with stuff. We came up with the juice I produce because I didn't want to say discharge. I was really right about the juice I produce.
That's so funny.
Yeah, and he was like, you got to use that. I was like,
what a perk of having a boyfriend that's a great
writer.
Oh, it's
the best. The best.
Do you guys,
we really want to do something together.
Do you like spitball like with each other all the time?
Jokes and like, like when he was coming up with pitches, like he has these soft pitches, I'll sit with him and kind
for
of brainstorm.
SNL.
Yeah, but his process is definitely different than mine. Like I'm just open to like, shout it out. I'll make everything work.
Right. Yeah. Throw everything against the
wall.
Throw
everything,
and just find it.
And I'll try anything on stage, really. Sure. And on Girl Code, too, I'll just like rant and say something.
Because they want it to be conversational. You see there are some sound bites that are just like, you know, where a girl's like, I'd like my boobs to come out in the springtime because it's warm. I clearly have not seen Girl Code in a while. That was
that was his best Jessamay Peluso impression.
Oh wow, she's straight on.
Yeah, she's very straight. You guys always seem so, and that's why I think the show. Because I think the show was actually really great.
I think so too.
And you're great on it.
I think it's changed.
Totally, but so conversational. Like you guys you seem so relatable, and that's why the girls who watch it love it.
Such
and
a crazy
it's young
following.
Girls. It's young girls. Yeah, and the original two, like Carly and Nicole. I mean, their following is insane. I would do
same
colleges
with
them. Yeah, and they're just like, but the thing is, it used to be a lot more like boys and fucking and stuff like that. And then this last episode, they did a feminism episode, and it had a really big impact. And still now I do colleges and I'll go, does anybody know what feminism is? And it's just like, cricket, cricket. I'm like, can you yell anything about it? And they're like, man, haters.
Oh,
like,
God.
So we like have this found new glory of like needing to educate young women on like feminism and, you know, equality and which feminism is. And
well, MTV has always been educating the youth, hence the show 16 and Pregnant.
and Road Rules.
Don't do this. Yeah.
Don't do this.
That's
unless you want to be on our show.
Now, that's pretty awesome, though, that there is that type of an impact with that show.
You feel it. And like, I just started to feel this, which relates all the way back to the beginning of this podcast where like, all of a sudden when I'm like, does anybody know what feminism is? And I have some like shit joke, I'm sure, to follow it with it. And then I realized they didn't. I felt this like crazy responsibility to like be
like,
funny, but still educate them, but still be relatable. And, you know, and
that is a part of this. Don't you think so, Brad? A little bit like of this as a comedian to like,
I remember about 3 years into doing stand up. This woman comes up to me after the show. And she's crying. And at first, I'm like, "Oh, you really hated my act." And then she was like, "No,
I thought you were wee man."
She goes, "No, I have a dwarf son."
Yeah.
And,
oh my God.
And it's about to get really serious. Yeah. But she says, "I know that if he had seen your jokes, he would not have killed himself." And I'm like, I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God,
Jesus.
Dude.
Like, I immediately started crying right there. I'm like, oh shit. Like, people actually pay attention to this stuff.
They do. They pay attention to it. They pay attention so much.
And like, you're just sitting there going,
just going like, I can't get Montreal. I'm worthless.
What's a funnier way to say this dick joke? It's like, oh wait, no, people are paying attention to this.
They are.
You forget how much of an escape comedy is too for people, like from the real world and life. And like that, I mean, that's why you hear when people, like, I'm sure we've all gotten tweets of people after a show being like, it's been a long week at work, or like, or we get this a lot for our podcast where they'll go like, you know, a lot of people that go like, thank God another About Last Night because my job sucks. And like, you guys are helping me get through the...
But don't
like,
you love that? That's so cool.
Yeah, I don't love that people have shitty jobs.
Yeah, I don't love that.
No, but that we're like, right, just us could, shooting the we, shit is a release.
Them, yes, yeah, we can give them an
it's
excuse.
It's like giving them hand jobs, but not even touching any dicks.
Well, I mean, I mean, I think I'd rather touch the dicks.
Yeah, I'd rather touch some dicks.
Audio piece number yeah, two, I want isolated. God.
Bring in the dicks.
Soundbite City, and Brad's the mayor today.
I'm sorry, guys. I requested a bowl of dicks.
Now, let me ask you a personal question as a girl. Mm-hmm. And you guys, kinda, maybe you've talked about this on Girl Code. Do, just because it's this just came into my head as a question. But mm-hmm. the coming from Brazil and now in the States, like, was there, like, the first, you don't have to get into, like, your first sexual experience. But mm-hmm. were there.
But please get into your first sexual experience.
Okay, pervert alert.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. I won't talk until my bowl of dicks is here.
By the way, Pervert Alert is a show I want you to host on PAX tomorrow.
Oh my God.
Hi, I'm Brad Williams, and welcome like, back alert. To Pervert Alert.
Brad Williams, and welcome to Pervert Alert. Today, we're in South Beach, Miami.
You just pop up.
You just pop alert. Up. You see a guy who's tilted his sunglasses and looking at a woman's butt, and yeah. you throw something at him, and he goes, huh? And you go, Pervert Alert.
So yeah, so some guy like goes to a barbershop and goes, cut it all off except for the ponytail. I pop a pervert alert! Pervert alert! Hit him with a Nerf gun.
That's what you shoot. Because you holding a Nerf gun.
That's really funny. Like a big one, though.
A big one.
Like a huge one.
Maybe a Nerf bow and arrow?
Damn right.
Yeah. Pervert alert.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know why I just got really excited.
Pervert alert. It's hard to say it. Pervert alert.
Yeah, I mean, all right, Jade, that was your audition to be the announcer, and you just failed.
Let's just give me one more time. Pervert alert. It's really hard.
All right. Does anyone have Natasha Leggero's number?
By the way, pervert alert.
Oh, do you think I look like her? Like was that my replacement?
I was just saying
any female
comic that popped into my head, and we had already done Whitney Cummings or
I know
or
I know
the episode,
I get your baby Whitney Cummings all the time.
Is that
like,
weird?
We're the same age.
Usually, Rita Rudner is our go-to female comedian
Rita.
Reference.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, I'll take Natasha. She's awesome.
Okay. What? Okay. So coming from Brazil, were there like are there a different set of like. I was about to say sexual standards, which sounds like a CD you can buy. It's Sam Goody in the, hey, man, I'm looking to really set the mood tonight with this chick I like. Well, the guy's, well, we got our sexual standards section.
It's just a drone sound, like,
It's Keith Sweat and fucking a bunch
of
condoms.
That sounds like one of those late night CD infomercials that like one of those like, hi, I'm Patrick Duffy.
Whoa, wait a minute.
Ready to set the mood?
First
we got
of all,
sexual standards here for
you. It's not Patrick Duffy.
I'm pretty sure it'd be Patrick Duffy.
Yeah, I think Patrick Duffy.
The dad from Step by Step?
I mean, when you think of sexual standards, Patrick Duffy just popped into my head.
He's like, remember the Step by Step song?
Yeah.
Standard.
Remember coming to it? You're like, no.
No.
He's like, well, get ready to. What? And he goes, turn around, and he's there.
Wait, is the whole CD just.
Yeah, and it's Patrick Duffy singing. It.
Day by day.
Day by day. I don't think I'm going to come in with the backups. what are you, crazy?
Sorry,
I think I know what you're asking. Sexual things in Brazil are not taboo. Okay. When I was like 13, right before I moved, I would go to parties where there was like, we didn't want to sneak off to like circle jerk or drink or like, you know, in the States, the second that I got here was like, everybody lied to their parents. It was always like sneaking out and like
How
drinking.
Did you adapt to that? Or did you go, that's wrong?
No, I did it all. I was like a horrible kid because I was really good at academics, so nobody knew. But like in Brazil, it was like the norm, like to talk about sex and to talk about politics. Mm-hmm. Kids were like very social. And there was a thing called ficando, which is like when you're with someone.
Oof, God, the Brazilian accent. I don't know.
It's cool.
I don't know what you just said, but that was that's
like,
really great.
Just to stay with someone is a thing in Brazil, like where you're just like, we're just sexually fucking. Like, we're just, like, casually fucking, I mean, like, sexually fucking.
Sexually fucking?
What's the other guy?
So, a guy who's trying to be a sexy R&B singer, he's like, I don't know what you're going to call this track. Sexually. How about sexually fucking?
I'm sexually fucking.
Kids, come in. It's time for food dinner. Sexually fucking.
Sexually fucking should be the name of my CD.
Oh, my God, Jade, that's incredible.
But it was, like, norm. It wasn't, like, taboo, and then you come
here. What's
the
word for that again?
If you're with someone, you say ficando. I'm with, like, I'm just staying with them. I'm just, like, fucking them.
And people knew what that meant.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, cool. Like, that means, like, if somebody else likes the guy, like, it's okay for them to be like, can I date you? Like, because you're just, like, fucking this girl. And it's like, yeah. Like, it's very open.
So, wow.
Because, like, we have kind of stuff like that here, but there's no rules for it. Like we say, like, oh, we're friends.
We're
in
an open relationship.
Right, friends with benefits. Yeah, open relationship, which
works.
Never works. And then also, it's a combination of that, and then the most jealous people in the entire world. So I don't know how. Yeah, it's like very open.
So there's
and yet,
a lot of bar
lot
fights.
Of tension.
Is what
you're saying. Yeah, a lot of bar, lots of stabbings.
You ate my papaya. You fucked my papaya. Is her name
papaya?
I'm pretty sure
you sexually fucked my papaya.
Pretty sure you fucked my papaya is a new sitcom that should absolutely be on in Brazil.
Oh my God, we gotta
get home. It's Tuesday night. Yo, it's time for You Fuck My Papaya.
We have come up with the entire Brazilian TGIF lineup. Yeah, You Fuck My Papaya, pervert
Tuesday.
Alert.
Sexually fucking.
All right, so, okay, well, that's interesting.
And then
know.
I came here and people thought I was too touchy. People thought I was too, you know, because I was like, hey, try to hug people and like, you know, and that's not, that
wasn't
the way
here.
People, yeah, we don't talk here.
Or like you hug a guy here and you're like 14, 15, like, wait a minute, are we together now?
Yeah, exactly. and I remember my first kiss in Brazil. I closed my mouth and he opened his. And
oh,
so
no.
He just went like, but. And then the first time I ever try to smoke a bong, I open my mouth and try to put my.
And the bong closed his. Yeah. Wait a minute. Why, the first time you smoked weed, I want to hear about that.
The first time I ever smoked weed? Wow, I don't remember. Because I've never stopped ever since.
So
the whole, memory
thing. So it's just gone. I don't even remember anything. The first time I ever had sex was in a closet.
Wow,
I have a joke about it. Yeah.
Was that like a 7 minutes in heaven type thing?
It was not 7 minutes. It was very quick. And I just the whole time remember thinking like, this is sex. Having sex.
You were looking for a blouse and found a dick. And
yeah. We're like, oh, put it in. Yeah. No, we had planned this. We're like, we're going to sexually fuck tonight. No, we had planned it. We're like in the closet tonight at this party, right?
Oh my God.
And I wasn't like a big, like, you know, you drink like all sorts of weird liquor when you're little and you're like, whatever you can find, like, you know, hard lemonade.
Yeah, and you're
like
mixing everything too.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Because you have no
booze
idea.
Is booze.
Yeah, you're like,
beep.
I got to drink.
Yeah.
And,
wow. Thanks, Dave Attell.
Booze is booze, burp. Wait, what does he do? They go, oh, easy. Hey, what is it?
Easy.
Wait, no, there's a joke he does before, you know. My dad wasn't abusive. He only hit me because it was the only way he could get hard. Easy, huh? Boozy, huh? All right. Love him.
That's been the
love him.
Dave Attell roundtable.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love him. Sure. I remember when he had a tiny ponytail, and I was like, Dave, what's with the gross like dad ponytail? And he would never respond. Like, he would just pretend like he couldn't hear me.
I love the fact that right now Dave has the same outfit that he wears every night when he goes
to
do stand up.
I love that. I
something
wish I
brilliant
had that.
About that.
There is. Because you don't think about it. It's a uniform.
It's branding. Yeah. And I want to get to that point where I'm like, well, I'm doing stand up tonight.
You actually look just like him. He just wears a t-shirt and jeans. That's all he does. Like, just very Louis.
I'm 31, so I don't know if I really want to look like Dave Attell yet.
No, I mean outfit-wise. Oh, okay. Like, he just wears like a gray t-shirt and like jeans. That's all he ever wears.
How cool is that that you end up on shows with guys like that in New York? Right,
he's so awesome.
I mean, we're all at that level where we are at the clubs to be on, you know, and it's not just like Chris Rock is there because he popped in on a show where you brought 20 friends to. Now you got booked. You got booked on that show, and so did he.
So rad. And God, when I first met him, I was like hanging out at the Cellar, and I had brought a friend, and she brought a friend, and the friend was drunk and flashed us all her tits, and I was like, he's always gonna be my friend now. Because he'll always think I have flashy girlfriends.
Wow.
I mean, that's everybody needs a slut friend. Everybody needs a
friend. And that's your advice show.
Yeah.
And that's also song. That's the song before the intermission in Where's My Papaya, which is the name of the musical. Well, we'll come up with a better name for the Brazilian musical.
We will.
All right.
Oh,
so
yeah.
back to the closet.
And I tell this still on stage. Right before we did it, we both chugged a bunch of pina colada mix. Like, we just were
the
chugging
mix?
It. We later found out.
Is the mix even alcoholic?
Was just the mix.
Yeah.
No alcohol in it. No alcohol in it. We just chugged a bunch of sugar.
So he had a sugar-filled dick. Yeah.
And I smell it, and I still get horny for 16-year-old boys.
Oh, my God.
Nice Pavlov dog response.
I just started drooling. Gotta get some of that dick.
Wow. In the closet, do you remember it being
quick?
Yeah.
Easy, smooth. Like a.
Did you describe a beer
like a
commercial
nice
right now?
It was a light beer, kind of like watery.
Coors Light. Quick, easy, smooth. Like losing your virginity in the closet.
Yeah, and I just dated so many assholes, man. I don't know what I was thinking when I was young.
You found a good one in Nikki.
Yeah, good old Nikki, man.
He's the best.
I had to get through a lot of jerks to find this one.
Isn't that kind of how we'd go? I mean, dating is the, you're trying to find out what you like and what you don't like.
I was just like, you're an older guy who will never like me. Let's go for it. Like, it was like what I liked. Like, I wanted to like win people over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, oh, if you don't like me, I don't even want to be around you.
Yeah. It's funny when you get to that point as a person where you're just like, oh, I don't got time for.
I don't got time for
any, for, there's going to be any. I mean, Milana was talking to us about how she was reading this book about like. What was it, Brad? Like signs early on that you can know when it's not going to work out. Like,
right.
Like if somebody getting defensive is like a tell that it's just not.
Why? What do you mean? I don't do that.
I think I get. maybe it was more than that.
See, Adam, she was getting defensive right there.
No, I know.
Oh, okay, I'm just trying to explain.
He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it.
Hey, is this a comedy show?
highly offended by that joke. Anyway.
All right. Before we wrap this up, and this has been super fun.
Yeah, you guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me. I've wanted to do this for a long time.
Yeah, this is the best. First of all, where can people find you online?
At the Jade Movie. At the Jade Movie.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that. What is that? That's your Twitter handle.
That's my Twitter handle. Doug Benson gave it to me.
Wow.
We were doing a podcast together, and I was like, all right, everybody, Jade Caterpretta. That's J-A-D-E, like spelling it
and
out.
Right.
He was like, whoa.
His high brain was like.
Yeah, he's like, we got to do something else. He like movies. I was like, love movies, Doug. And he's like, at the Jade Movie. And I was like, sweet. And I'm actually going to be at midnight on Monday with Doug Benson. So that's very exciting.
Look at that.
Nervous? Ready?
Have you done it before?
No, never done it.
I'm on Tuesday, and I've never done it.
Shut up.
So let's.
You guys can totally compare stories afterwards.
I'm nervous. I'm like nervous to do
me too.
It. I like call Becky. I like call Tony. I'm like, anybody help me?
Who are you on with?
Doug Benson and Justin Wilner, the magician guy from Emerson.
Yeah, it's going to be great. That's a great
It's really fun.
Crew.
But I'm nervous because I don't know them that well, so I wish it was like I could have a little more rapport. But what about you? What are your...
Santino and Jessamy.
Oh, fuck you. Yeah.
Santino and I are like planning a bit.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I wish I could call Doug and be like, hey, do we want to do...
You will on your next time.
Yeah,
come on.
But I'm psyched because I never do this kind of, like, I never did Chelsea. I never get to do panel stuff, so I'm very honored.
And that's really one of those shows now, At Midnight has become like... one of those shows that breaks comics. It sort of goes in waves. Like,
just no pressure.
Yeah. Well, no, like, I'm saying it's a great opportunity.
If you want that Brazilian musical to get funded, you better crush on Monday.
If you want the papaya dreams to come true, you better.
That's one of the songs, if you want your papaya dreams to come true.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure papaya dreams is a candle you didn't buy.
Oh, papaya dreams.
I didn't have enough money.
I still don't smell any of it. These are duds. A great nose. Nothing.
So the Jade Movie on Twitter.
Jade Movie on Twitter.
Same thing for Instagram?
Same thing for Instagram. I'll be in North Dakota April 22nd through the 24th. And then I'll be at the Tampa Improv with Bobby Lee.
That's what I wanted to end on is our – because you and I – Bobby Lee both helped Jade and I get our
roadster.
Break our comedy labias.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mine was broken already.
mine really needed a good Korean comic book. What I'm trying to say.
Not the first time your hymen was broken by a Korean, but okay.
Yeah. He had a huge dick, had a tiny hymen. I come on to Bobby Lee all the time now because he's like, you're gross, you're disgusting. He's so mean to me in like the best way.
Yes, in like a brother type
of way. We'd be eating and he'd just be like, you look so ugly when you chew. Like,
at least he doesn't say you look so Jewish when you stand.
I feel that way about you, yeah. But he'd be like, your head is so tiny. Just like in the smallest things. But I think it's always like he wants me to write a joke about having a tiny head. Or like
he's also like has no filter. And how many people do you know that you love and that you don't mind their filter to be that open? And
I love him so much.
Give me a quick Bobby Lee fun road story. Because when you first started going with him is when I stopped going with him.
Yeah.
And
oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. You guys know. you guys like passed the baton to each other.
No, I feel like we went together. We had a couple together dates, like very early on.
But you were hosting.
Yeah.
And then, which is kind of what he did for me too. And Bobby also just, I mean, so have to just praise him because like.
He's an incredible
human. Yeah. That was a, you know, whether we were like ready or not, he thought we were ready. And it was like, and it made us get better because on the road you just like. You're opening for a guy that's selling out and it's like people are paying money for.
It's so great because they expect him to be so crazy. There's so much leeway to be crazy from the beginning, you know? Like, and I've gone on the road with a lot of guys I look up to and nothing beats Bobby Lee's crowd.
And why is that?
They're just so fun. They're fun and they don't care.
When you're going to see a comic who, when he meets you, you're probably going to see his penis within 15 seconds.
Yeah, and they're like, show us your pussy. And I'm like, boo.
I love that you have sound effects with your pussy reveal.
Moink.
Wait a minute. I don't know about that one.
You're like pussy is making the same sound effects that like Batman makes when he punches a villain. Yeah.
Every time my vagina comes out, I have to, next stop. Ow. Yeah, Bobby, like, honestly, he would take me on the road. I would host for free, and then he was very generous. Yeah. And it's funny. He hates leftovers. This is a fun fact.
Yeah, okay.
We'll, like, go.
Buys way too much food when you go out to eat.
Buys so much food. Feasts. Won't eat it all. It's the most fun. Won't eat it all.
Says get whatever you want.
Will not let me take leftovers. Like, because when I'm on the road, I'll stay up kind of late watching Bravo.
Yeah.
And I had a pizza in my hand, like almost a whole pizza. Yeah. And he fought it out of my – we fought with it at a mall. We were like, no, no, no. And he pulled it out of my hand and then couldn't get it in the trash can because it's like the whole of the trash can.
It's a 3-foot box. It's a simple shape challenge.
Welcome back to Bobby Lee's shape fucking problems.
So every time I get leftovers, I always sing like, fuck him. Yeah. See, Bobby, can't take my leftovers.
Yeah, he can't take my leftovers.
But I also cannot get him to text me back. So I don't know. I hope it's still happening.
I hit him up about going to the Korean spa because we used to go to that.
Oh, yeah.
So fun. And I saw him last night at the store and I go, Korean spa this week? He goes, yeah, hit me up. I go, I did. Twice. 2 days ago. And he was like, what?
I love it. Yeah, he always takes I love going on the road with him. I'm very excited. He also sleeps most of the day, so you call him around to you. He's like, what?
Yeah. Oh, sometimes he'll wake up and literally go, walk into the club and go, and be like, I need a Red Bull. Like, I just woke up like 10 minutes ago. I'm like, I don't even think you're awake yet.
It's like, it's 7:10. Yeah.
I love it.
And then he crushes.
Yeah, he crushes. And then he never thinks he does, which it's all of us. But we once had a wall share. Like, my room was next to his.
That's awesome.
And it was when I was like, really crazy about working out, and I woke up really early and worked out, and I came downstairs, was drying my hair. It was like 1 in the afternoon, and he's like, stop! And I could hear him through the wall. And I was like, Bobby? He's like, I'm getting a different room. Like, we could hear each other clear as day.
Oh, man.
And I had no idea, and the night before I'd been there, like, talking to Nick on the phone.
Oh, God.
Yeah, just, like, talking to my parents, you know. I don't know what he heard, but...
He wanted me to take Viagra with him one night. Just to take it, and then go to our rooms, and, like, talk and have stories the next morning, and be like, what'd you do? Like,
oh, he's like, he's like, he's
what's
like,
the story? My dick, like, was hard.
Neither one of us had women. It was like, you know, it
super
was,
frustrating.
It was the time we both had girlfriends. So he was like, so we weren't going to do anything. So it was like, just go, you know, fucking, he's like, just jerk off for 9 hours.
He loves dick experiments.
Dick
experiments.
But we were at the grocery store and he got him and he goes, here, he goes, take this with me tonight. And also, he would do a great thing where it was like, he would press you into, like, he's like, you want to go to San Jose and Phoenix? Take these.
He does that to me.
He would, like, bribe you.
He does that to me.
Oh, God.
I had to get a 30-minute set. I really wanted to submit last year. Yeah. Useless. But we go Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Sunday, the second show, something happened. It was just like perfect. Like, I had the perfect amount of stuff in the beginning, and I come off stage and I've been taping the whole weekend, which was something you taught me too, like, very early on. And I taped it and I was like, I got it. This is the one. And he's like, you're going to be so mad at me. You're going to be so mad at me. I'm like, Bobby, what? What? He's like, I took the video camera halfway through and, like, put it down my pants and showed you my pubes. And I was like, during the second show on Sunday?
Oh.
And he was like, yeah. And I was like, fuck you. I was so mad.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it was funny. I was like, fuck you. But I was like, this is the whole reason I did this. And then he'd start going like, but I'll take it in this way.
Yeah,
would that make you happy if I take it in New York?
And
I'm like,
it kind of does.
Yes.
It kind of does, of course.
But I was upset because I never got I still don't have a 30-minute tape.
Yeah, but maybe he saved you. Maybe you just, maybe it was a year. When was this?
Almost a year
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, see,
now.
You're a year better. So it's like.
But yeah, oh man, I was so upset. Because sometimes he'll, like, kind of cross the line a little with me and I'll, like, kind of get offended.
Oh,
but I think he likes that.
Of
course.
Poking
he
likes
at
to push the envelope.
Bit. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now that he's sober, it's his vice. He's pushing the envelope with his friends. All right. So, Girl Code is MTV. What nights?
Yeah. Wednesdays 10 p.m. And then also tomorrow, check out MTV. I did a brunch thing with Nicole Byer.
Awesome.
Or this won't come out.
This
today.
Is 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. In 2 weeks. Well, look back on it.
Yeah. Super go
fun.
On MTV.com and
yeah.
I'm sure it's online, right?
Yeah, it'll be online eventually. Yeah. Tomorrow we're just like brunching about the MTV Movie Awards.
I love it.
And I actually drank, which don't recommend it.
Well, I'm watching just for that reason.
Yeah. I was looking at the teleprompter like. just give me a second. Just let me read it. And they're like, it's going already? I was like, uh-huh.
Oh, like you thought it was just your vision. Yeah, like, oh, man, like, those words are dancing around.
I was like, can you slow it down? They're like, it's going already. I was like, oh, wow. It's moving.
Wait, Brad's two beer Brad. What are you like?
I'm like four sip Jade.
Four sip Jade.
Wow.
Because yeah. I smoke. I'm a smoker. I'm not a drinker. Yeah. But I don't like drinking that much. I've never been like drunk and been like, I miss that feeling.
Sure.
Like I do with other drugs.
Yeah. Manhattan Love Story on Hulu. You can watch it. Go back and watch it because if you want to see Jade be hilarious, go watch that. And website?
No, I don't have a website.
Okay, that's fine. Facebook and Twitter are the websites.
Get off Facebook and get a website, right?
Instagram at The Jade Movie.
At The Jade Movie.
Follow her, love her, laugh with her.
Go see her live. Yeah. And look out for the Brazilian musical with the opening song. And let's all try to sing it together with the opening.
Here we go. Like, oh, jeez. Where are you?
Oh. No, right here, we'll do it, right? I'll be the father and coming out, and we'll all find our roles. You know, and Brad, you'll come out as the singing papaya. That's all you know. Dad. I am the father.
Okay.
You are my daughter.
Okay.
I'm the singing papaya.
Dun, 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 I live in Brazil. I make papaya still.
Papaya, 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 como vai?
But now my daughter has taken over the papaya business. Where is she? Where is she?
Here I am, here I am. Make some jam with papayas and take it to America.
Ooh, going to America scares me, but I love jam, so I will. Sam is my best friend who has a place in America. Hey, look, it's
a papaya.
Hi.
I'm trying to do high voice. What a papaya sound.
I am a papaya. Ooh. I will dance for ya.
I wish you guys could
see
us.
I am so nutritious, but also quite superstitious.
Ooh, don't put that hat on the floor.
Don't put that hat on the floor. Superstitious papaya.
Superstitious papaya.
Superstitious
here we are.
Papaya.
Superstitious
in your mouth.
Papaya.
We're going to go to America once we get a papaya train.
Put me in your mouth.
Put him in your mouth. Wait, what?
Wait, what? The superstitious papaya, everybody.
Oh, superstitious papaya.
So, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. We had laughs and stories. Now go listen to more episodes on iTunes or your phone. Subscribe and tell your family and everyone you know.
But what should I tell them? Well, you can just tell them that
Brad Williams and Adam Ray can help you get through the fucking day. Just follow us on Twitter at Funny Brad, and I'm at Adam Ray Comedy.
This has been the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/ Wait For It Comedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore, because it's here, and it's funny, and I love you.